And I just wanted to share this little story. It had to deal with when Jesus was out preaching. He came across a gentleman, a certain man, and this man, he happened to be rich. Okay? He had it all of what the world had to offer. And I want us to understand what the implication of this story is all about and how is it to be applied to our lives today. I learned something. I guess the kids want to speak more than me today. That's all right. But I learned something in this world that we live in today that we have to, as a believer, be relevant. You know, we have to have be able to be relevant to where we're at now. What are some of the things that are happening today that you have seen in current events? Huh? Come on. What is happening that is sort of putting us into a place of fear? Okay. We don't want to talk about politics here. Okay. Yeah, okay, North Korean dictator.
The missile.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Nuclear weapon.
Uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The shootings, yes, the shootings. You know, what we never used to have years ago, we're having it now, shootings in school. The shootings that are going on in the school system, you know, and it's all like that, all these things. Are you up with the news? Of what's going on? Huh? Do you know we have to, as a believer, we need to know what's happening in the world? Because in knowing what is going on in the world, we can relate the relevance of what, how much more Jesus is needed. See, how much more Jesus is needed in this world. And not to sit on it, not to just sit down and let it happen. We need to stand up as believers and who we believe. And we need to stand up and tell the truth, you know, and what who's the one that can bring salvation. See, and that's the key factor that I want to talk about today. We have to learn to have relevance in not only with what's going on in the world, but also what is going on with us as a church body. Okay, what is going on with us? How do we take what is out there in the world and how do we associate it with what we are about in church? In other words, how are we living this life? Okay? In retrospect of what's going on out there in the world, are we living examples of Christ? Are we being faithful as we say we are? Okay? Are we relating with one another on the basis of sharing and being able to give of ourselves? Are we all an association of brothers and sisters? How are we effective towards our sisters or our brothers? Oh, they don't believe the way I believe, so I'll put them to the side and I move on. Is that what we're supposed to do?
No.
Huh? In life? But that's what we do. Unfortunately, it's being done in churches. That church stays over there because they don't believe the way we believe. Or that church stays over there, because we're a different kind of people. No. How are we supposed to share the gospel? How are we supposed to share with one another? How are we supposed to share love if we, express love? You can't express love by saying it alone. How do you express love to others? How do you express love to others? Who said that? by actions, by your action. Amen? And this is what we need to express of each other. You know, some of us, you know, how many of you know that we're not all the same? Emotionally, you know, spiritually, we're all on different levels and so on. So how are we able to express love to so many different forms of levels? How are we able to express love? Well, that's what this lesson is about today. The expression of love. God's love and the way that we're supposed to express it. And I have here a formula. Okay? I'm going to call it's called the Relational Needs Assessment Tool. You didn't know you were going to test yourself today. You know, I forgot to get some pencils and pens. Oh, God. Well, anyway, you know, we're getting ready to give a class on Wednesday night, and it's called Relational Discipleship. Okay? It's a class that is going to be given on Wednesday nights at 7:00 p.m. And what we're going to be doing is how to relate with one another in the way of how Christ related with his disciples. Okay? I don't hear any excitement about it. You know, you know, you say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, prove it to me. How are you going to prove it to me? Can I hear someone say that again? By showing up, that's a good one, yes. How important we need to support one another. We are not an island all alone. You got what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying there, Silas? Yeah. You're not an island all alone. You got others around you, right? Okay, we got to communicate with one another. We have to share with one another. Brethren, you understand what I'm saying back there? Huh? Mike? And what's your name again? Travis. I'm sorry, Travis. I forgot your name. I know the face, but but the thing is, we have to be able to share with one another. And we have to not only share. How do we share? It's not only by taking and taking and taking from each other. But how else do we share? Say that again. By giving. Giving. Giving what? Giving what you got. Giving how you're blessed. I'm not telling you to go deep in your pockets and give that money to that person, that person. No, that's not I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about you have abilities. You have, gifts that God has given to you that you need to be able to share those gifts to others. You can't keep those gifts all for yourself. Shame on you if you do. Because then you are not following the plan of Jesus. Okay? Travis?
I know the other day when I was driving through Wilmboro, me and my mom was in the car. Uh-huh. And we saw an old woman walking like towards our way, and she had a bunch of bags in her hand.
Mm.
And I looked over at my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm not going to let her walk like that. And I turned the car around and I said, Ma'am, can you tell me where you live? I would love to give you a ride. You know, she was an older woman, had to be in her 60s, had a bunch of bags in her hand.
Giving. Yes. Thanks for sharing that, Travis. Mm-hmm. It's important to realize those things in our lives. That's what God is looking from out of us, each of us. Now, here we go. This is relational needs assessment chart tool. Everybody needs something. I need something. Keith, you need something. Amy, you need something. Well, there we go. Praise the Lord. We all have needs, certain needs. But now, look at these needs that we have that we need. Some of us need acceptance. Everybody say acceptance. Am I right? Huh? Somebody needs, here right now, somebody needs to feel accepted. Okay. How about respect? Respect, right? Huh? You need respect. We need respect. Okay. How about comfort? Some of us need to be comfort. Some things that are happening in our lives is causing a discomfort of self. We're not able to function properly because we have such a discomfort. Okay. How about security? Some of us need to be secured. Secured what? In jobs, secured in education, secured in the home, secured at church, secured, am I right? Huh? Husband, wife, security, children need security. Okay, how about affection? Where is Pastor going with all of this stuff? See, we need affection too. Okay? There's different kinds of affections. There's affection in the home. That's different than affection at church. Okay? Affection at church is different than affection at the job. But we all need some form of affection. Hallelujah, whether we're at home or on the job. How about support? We're talking discipleship now. Why did Jesus took those 12 and he walked with them? He was teaching something to them about loving and that there has to be some community function, working together. We cannot work separately. We have to function together. Amen? Support. How many of us here need support? Raise your hands. I need support. I mean, you know, I can't do it all alone. Okay? How about appreciation? Some folks have gotten to the point, I don't need to be appreciated. I'm my own. Nobody's business. That's it. You know? But believe it or not, there are folks like that. They have secluded themselves. Some people are happy just being secluded. Okay? Appreciated. How about attention? Huh? Who does that good? Try to get their attention. Children. You know what? We do too. We try to get attention. How do we do that? Huh?
Sometimes complaining.
Complaining. We complain. How else? We cry. We bicker. We whine. Sometimes, to get attention, we don't show up to church. That's a good one, right? We don't show to church. You know? Attention. You know? Oh, sometimes we come late to church. Getting attention, you know? Okay. We can look at it that way. Kids, you know, huh? Late to work. Yeah, wherever. Yeah. So kids get the attention. They do things to get them in trouble. We do things to get ourselves in trouble too. Amen? How about encouragement? How many of us here need encouragement? We all need a little bit of encouragement. And the last one, how about approval? Approval is important. You falling asleep on me? Approval is important. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to have approval. Amen? That's the way we function. Children, God makes the word of God so, you know, that we are able to be approved by him. See, the scripture says specifically in 2 Timothy that study to show thyself what? Approved to God. Amen. So if you study the word of God, hallelujah, you get God's approval. Amen. But I want to pass this to you. And what this is it's an assessment tool. Now, I hope you can understand. Huh? Oh, okay, sure. It's an assessment tool. And what you're going to do with these, you have to answer every phrase that's there. Every question that's over here, you have to answer it. And above, there's a little, there's a little diagram above with numbers on it, and you have either strongly disagree, neutral, agree, or strongly agree. Those are the things that you have there, okay? But you have to answer every one of them. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do that now, because there are 50 questions. You don't need to do that now. But what you're going to do is take this home with you, and you're going to need to seriously pray and ask God help you with this. And then you got to fill out each question with what number is up there, whether you agree strongly or you are neutral, or you disagree, or you disagree strongly, okay? Now, a sentence that, like number one, is going to say like this, it is important that people receive me for who I am, even if I'm a little different, okay? So then you would answer it, whether it's strongly disagree or agree. You know, it depends on which way you want to go. But everything must be answered, okay? Go pass them out. You can pass them out to the youth, okay, as well, okay? Well, there is a place for your name and the date, okay? You got to have mommy explain this to you, okay? Okay. You got it? Everyone has a sheet? Yeah, go ahead and bring it down. Everyone has a sheet? Did you get one, Keith? Good. Amy, you have one? Okay, you can look at some of those phrases. They're pretty good. I feel good when someone takes a special interest in the things that are important to me. You know, these are things that we have to, it's an assessment of yourself. And it really works. Believe me, I did this questionnaire and I filled it out and I answered at the end and stuff like that. And it really works. It gives an assessment of what you are because you know yourself. Amen? Did everyone get a sheet? Silas got one? Okay. Did you get one, Ricardo? Okay, now, here we go. The next sheet. After you're done with that assessment, okay, you're going to look, as I said, mention all the different phases, the acceptance, the respect, the comfort. Under each one, to the left, let me give you the sheet first, okay, so that way you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, now look at that top sheet there. Over there, on that sheet, you have these different topics, okay, acceptance, affection, all that stuff. And look at one of those topics right now. Let's look at the first one. Let's look. You got one? Let's look at the first one, acceptance, okay? So if you look on the lines there, number one, you see the number one? That means the question that was asked, number one, the first question, okay? That's what it means. And whatever you put for the answer of number one, you see the zero over here? Next to that, you put that answer, okay? Say, for instance, if you put, where is it at? If you put strongly disagree or strongly agree, strongly agree is number five, strongly disagree is number one, okay? So you put number five or number one next to it, and you do the same thing. The next question is what? 19. Number 19. And whatever you answered on number 19, you put that over there, and you go down to number 48, question 48, okay? And you put whatever that number is. And then you total that whole side of the answered numbers that you put. And then that would be your total for acceptance. Okay? You got it?
Yes.
Everybody understand how to answer now? Okay, so you take that home. Now, I'm doing that for your benefit. Why? Can someone answer me? Why am I doing this for your benefit? Okay. We know ourselves better. And Gabe, what did you say?
So we know how to act in our relationships.
Yeah. We get to know ourselves better. We get to know how to act. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. So the reality is that, see, what we want to do, see, you know, people like to help. You'll find out how much you are able to help by doing this assessment. See? Okay? And with those various, like acceptance, those various topics there, you're able to utilize those topics in the way of being able to, if you know yourself, you know how much of yourself you can give to others. See? Or you know that you have to work on yourself for certain things. Amen? And so that brings me to the scripture. Hallelujah. Let's get this Bible out a minute. I like, if you will, to turn to St. Mark's chapter 10. I'm going to do this real quick. St. Mark's in the Bible, in the Gospel of St. Mark's, okay? Chapter 10. Okay. Hallelujah. Jesus, at this time, he was doing a lot of activity. He was healing people. He was delivering people from demon possession. He was really doing some changes to people's lives. Okay? And along with him was his disciples. Okay? And we're going at St. Mark's chapter 10. Okay? And we're going to begin at verse 17 in a moment. Okay? But I'm going to ask a question right now. Let's see how this works. Okay. Look at this, I brought my own needle. Okay. Look at this. Let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God, for this day. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time. And we ask your blessings upon each and every one of us, dear Lord, as we partake of your word. And the time that we have here, dear Lord, help us to see light, dear God, of what is needed in our lives today. We pray in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. For those who are coming to the class on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., you need to bring those questions and answers, the assessment, to the class, okay? Now, what I like, for those who are not able to come to the class, if you have any questions of any sort, feel free to give me a call, okay? It rolled off the table and onto the floor. Praise God. I'm going to put this right in my pocket. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, those assessments are very important. If you need my phone number, I'll give you it after the service here, so that way you can give me a call. We're here to help. We're here to share. Amen? Praise God. In my hand, I know most of you won't be able to see it too well, I have a needle. Okay? A needle. Does everybody know what the eye of the needle is? I'm going to specifically ask the kids. Kids, do you know what an eye of a needle is? Huh? What is the eye of the needle, Elias? Huh? You can't do it right now? He's in La La Land. Do you know what an eye of the needle is? You don't know, huh? Do you know what an eye of the needle is, David? Huh? Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Everybody, you hear what he said? The top of it. He's correct. The top of the needle. Okay? This is an eye of the needle. See the little thread right through it? That little circle up there? That's the eye of the needle. Okay? Everybody, the eye of the needle is very important. If we're going to use it for sewing, you have to thread a piece of thread through it in order to, for sewing to work, right? The eye of the needle, how important it is, okay? Now, I want to talk about riches. I want to talk about baggage. I want to talk about things, okay? How important are things to you, okay? See, the scripture teaches us, in which we're going to read in a moment, that if you are concerned more about things, I'll put it that way, if you're more concerned about your friends and how great they are to you, or if you're more concerned about riches, money, and whatever else, if you have concerns about other things greater than God, it is hard for us to be saved. See? If we give them more importance than God, how can you say that you are saved in the Lord? And in the Lord. How many of us know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we do effectively make things more important than God. See? Look how small the hole of this needle is. It's very tiny. So tiny, it only fits a little piece of thread. See, this needle here reminds me of a lesson that Jesus gave to his disciples. Okay? It reminds us about what Jesus said about a rich man that didn't want to part with his rich things to serve God. Okay? Now, that was just one aspect. Riches, richness, being rich. Okay? But there are many aspects that we can go from that. And how we don't want to depart with certain things because, you know, like we love those things more than we love God. Okay, here we go. Start at verse 17 of chapter 10. You have it? Please say amen.
Amen.
Just to let me know that you got it. Okay. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, okay? He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Now listen up carefully. Jesus, what he was trying to say or to imply to the rich man, it was nearly impossible for a person that trusted in their own riches to be born again spiritually. Who do you put your trust in? See, in order to have eternal life, in order to be saved, to know the Lord, you have to be able to put away whatever else is around. I'm not saying specifically you're going to have to take whatever you have and just take it and throw it to the side here and there. What I'm saying, in your heart, who is the one that you should love most? Who's the one that you should love first? Say it. God. See? But yet, when we look at our list of priorities, where does God usually fall under? What are some of the things that gets in the way of God being first in our lives? Come on, let's be honest. What did you say? Money. Number one, money. Our kids. Who said relationship? Travis said relationship. Responsibilities. Yeah. The job. What was that? Pride, self-centeredness. Okay. There's a whole bunch of things that we could put in the way of putting God first, placing God first. See? But what Jesus was really saying is that you can't save yourself. You can try, And believe me, as a pastor who's been pastoring over 25 years, I've seen people try their hardest to try to be saved. They try to walk right. They try to talk right. They try to do things right. They come to church faithfully to get on their knees. They come faithfully to church. They come on time to church. They do all kinds of things to try. But when the chips are down and something comes up in their lives that they're having a struggle, they're the first ones not to show up in church. Or they're the first ones not to give God the glory. See? And what happens with that? See? We try our best to make it in being a Christian. But God is not wanting people who want to try their best to be a Christian on their own. God's not looking for that. See? And with this rich man, that's what Jesus was trying to imply to him. It's not about all that you got and all that stuff. It's, are you willing to be committed to me 100% all the way? Are you willing to let go of that thing and that thing and that thing to follow me? See? With man, it is impossible. It is impossible to try and save yourself. Hallelujah. Jesus was saying that it was nearly impossible for a person that trusted in their own riches to be born again spiritually. Okay? Sometimes we even make things become idols in our lives. We worship those things instead. We worship our children. We worship our music. We worship our art. We worship, oh boy. I can go along the line of how much we worship a whole lot of things. We worship the football players, the baseball players. We worship. I mean, we do so much, you know. And a lot of times we get hurt because we see that these people, in reality, they fail us. But who's the one that never fails us? Jesus. See, we can trust on Jesus. We can be sure that he will always be there. In whatever problem we may have, whatever trial we may be going through, Jesus is there for us. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus wasn't referring to a sewing needle like this one here when he talked about a camel going through the eye of a needle. The term "the eye of a needle" he was referring to is a small gate, a little door, okay? A little door that is no larger than maybe 4 feet by 3 feet, okay? And this door was placed into the big door, okay? If you ever looked in your history books and saw pictures of the gates in front of a wall, in a wall, you know, where the kingdom was behind the wall, okay? The palace was behind the wall. There was usually a big gate. But then in that big gate, there was a little gate, okay? No bigger than 4 feet by 3 feet. Yeah. That was called the eye of the needle. See? By history, it was called the eye of the needle. And literally what Jesus, remember, Jesus was being relevant in his own time. See? So in this lesson here, how can we make this relevant to us in our time today? See? It's easy to go through the big gate. Anybody can come in through the big gate and make their way in, right? In this day and time, it's so easy for us in the world to become popular, to do whatever we can, to make it, to get money or whatever. There's so many ways and so many things. See, for salvation, there's a small gate. The gate is narrow. It's not like a big gate that everybody can go in. You have to go through that small gate. And when you go through that small gate, now why Jesus reflected on the camel Okay? The rich man, it's better for the camel to go through the small gate, because the camel, you can take all the stuff off the camel, and then you can have the camel get their knees down, and you can get the camel with their knees down through that little gate. See? And that's what Jesus was implying. He was sharing that it's easier for that camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man who has all his things and everything and don't want to let him go. So was the same thing with some of us, even. May not be with money. Who's here rich in money today? I don't want you all to raise your hands up. But it can be other things. It can be your relationship. Or how much I work on my relationship with my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, blah, 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 and all that stuff. It can be your job. Some of us are addicted to the work that we do. We not only have one job, we got two of those jobs, we got three of those jobs, we got so many of those jobs. And then the reality is, we got all these jobs, but do we really need all those jobs?
No.
But we do it anyhow. See? See, here's the catch. For a camel to get in, he would have to take off the burden of all he was carrying on his back and kneel down and crawl through the door. So what Jesus was comparing about the going through that small door, he was comparing that the rich young ruler, he had many possessions. He didn't want to get rid of his possessions. So how in the world you're going to go through that door with all those possessions? See, and what the man was doing was giving his treasure here on earth more important than service to God. Some of us, we get it, we make it, and all that stuff, and then we got all these treasures that we lay up here, we got all this funding and everything, we can't take it with us to heaven. It's like amazing, how many people can have, how many retirements people can have. They can have an abundance of retirement for this, retirement for that, and all that stuff. But, and they can really all be thankful. I knew someone who had a retirement when he compiled all his retirements. He had $12,000 a month, That's not a lot of money to some people, but it is to me. $12,000 a month, Yeah, I could do a lot with $12,000 a month, see? But here's this man. But, it would be nice if this person was so nice to say, well, I'm going to give some of that to the church, or I'm going to give some to help the poor, the needy, and so on like that. But he didn't do that. He kept it all for himself. Okay? And he said, I am a Christian. I love God. I do, I don't want to judge anybody, but that's the outcome of what Jesus was sharing here. Who comes first? Servicing God is a way of God being first in our lives. Whenever we place anything in a more important position than God, we have made it an idol. It has become an idol. God wants us to love him more than anything or anything else, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus shared the scripture. He gave two commandments. Okay, let's look at in the Old Testament. We got 10 commandments, right? 10 commandments. The first four commandments are in reflect of God. Obeying God. You shall have no other gods. On and on, okay? See? And then keeping the Sabbath day, You see? And then in the other six commandments in the Old Testament of those 10 all reflects each other. Why has God made such a, wow, an importance of relationship with one another. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we love God first, God will bless us. He will give us the ability to love others, even the ones we think we cannot love without God's help. How many of us know that's true? I guess you didn't hear me. Huh? How many of us know that love can be hard for some of us? Huh? But we need to trust the Lord even more when that happens in our lives. See? So God can make all things possible for us. He can help us realize that things aren't nearly as important as people. Hallelujah. The disciples were wondering, who then can be saved? If that's the question. Oh, man. That rich man can't get into heaven. Oh, he's got all that stuff. So who can be saved? Jesus responded that it was impossible for men to save themselves. We need God's help. Everybody say God's help. Now everybody say, I need God's help. Hallelujah. We cannot do it with ourselves. Jesus is the answer. If we want to be saved, we must look to Jesus for our salvation. He gives us the strength. He gives us the power that we may be able to thrive through salvation. Amen? See, that's what Jesus meant when he said, with God, all things are possible. Jesus wants to help us with our burdens in life. See, this is what I'm talking about. These assessment tools will help you take note of the burdens in your life, of what's burdening you right now. Okay? Self-awareness is very important, and the way we do it is through Jesus Christ, not by help books. You know, there's plenty of help, you know, out there, self-awareness with authors who write daily and so on like that, but the trueness of self-awareness is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is able. If we give up trying to do it all by ourselves and rely on him, he will give us all we need. How many know that's true? Amen. Amen? What are you trying to do all by yourself? That's the question. We're going to pray afterwards because there are some here who need help on the basis of giving it up to the Lord. We try our hardest to do it ourselves, but God is saying today, let me handle that for you. Let me take charge of that for you. Have you given something or someone more importance than God? Let's look to Jesus and stop putting our money or wealth or anything else in front of God. And if we do that, God will help us. Amen? Doesn't matter what you need in your life. God is there to help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us need peace of heart, peace of mind. Some of us are asking, Lord, I need stability in my home. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need to make money, to have money for my school things, for my schoolwork. You know, we got all kinds of reasons and sometimes those things get so important, we forget God is right there. He's right here with us. Jesus is in our hearts right now. He's saying, help. You want help? You want help? Let me do it for you. Why should we have to struggle so much? You know, we struggle because of ourselves. How many of you believe that? Some of us are in the problems that we're in because of what? Ourselves. Mm-hmm. But God has a way out. And we need to take that way. Today, the Lord Jesus is saying, I am the way. Jesus is telling you today, I am the way. And this story here went a long way with the disciples because they understood it when Jesus explained it with the eye of the needle. See? So now you know why the eye of the needle. It wasn't referring to that needle with that little eye where the camel can go through. No, a camel can't go through that. See? Let's be logical. You know, we can't, you know, how easy is a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Legitimately, it's impossible. But the eye of the needle that's set before the kingdom of God, hallelujah, kingdom of God, his salvation love, his way of opening the door, come on in. There's peace in this land. There's love in this land. There's joy. There's rivers of living water. All you need to do is let go what you've been holding on to and let God take charge. Amen? I want every head bowed right now. You know, it's getting stuffy in here, and I see the eyes going. So I'm done. Hallelujah. And I just want you to just understand that God is in this place and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. Doesn't matter. Some of us, we've been walking in the Lord for a few years, and sometimes what happens is we start leaning on ourselves. Am I right? We fall short. So today, let's make it. Jesus said, I am the way. He's reminding us that he's able. If you would believe that he is able. Even with the time change of that job back there, my brother, Jesus can work, hallelujah, a new thing there. Jesus can even change the time. Hallelujah. You just have to believe. You have to believe. Hallelujah. Oh, we need jobs here. You know, there's a couple of people in the church right now who are looking after a job and they need right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you first got to give something up. So the Lord can work in your life. Amen. Amen? And you know who you are. Praise the Lord. I want you to take that right hand of yours. Put it right on your chest right now. As we pray right now. You're going to pray right now. From the bottom of your heart. You say your prayer of how you feel right now to Jesus. Say it right now. Amen. And as you're saying it, I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying the prayer of faith, believing for all of you here that God will touch you, that God will touch you. Believe by faith that all things are possible in the Lord. Amen? That Jesus is able. But don't forget, you have to make a sacrifice. You have to make an obedient sacrifice. See, Jesus was telling this to the rich young man that you have to be obedient and let that thing go. So whatever you have in your life today, make it your obedience action. Give it up to the Lord and then watch and see how the Lord is going to bless you with that job, with the time, with school, whatever it is. Hallelujah. I believe right now that God is doing it, even as I'm saying it. Come on, so quick. You just need to believe right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we pray right now for each person that has their hand on their chest right now, dear God, knowing that you're working a new thing in their life, dear God. They have come to you by faith, dear Lord, and they're praying to you right now, oh, dear Lord, to give them a renewness of mind, renewness of heart, dear Lord, and that they may be able, dear Lord, to trust in you, dear God. Oh, we pray right now, dear God, whatever the desire is of their heart, dear Lord, that, dear Lord, you would see it so fit by your will, dear God. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer of faith right now, believing, dear God, and just, dear Lord, as Jesus said it, dear Lord, that they will be able, dear God, to walk through the eye of the needle, dear Lord, with no problem at all. And the thing that we need to do, dear Lord, is humbly accept, dear Lord, our situation and bow down before you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Even if there's a need of healing right now, dear Lord, we pray for your healing power over that body, over that mind, over that spirit, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, we believe right now. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.